This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
She's Donna Pryor, and she's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
Monopoly, Battleship, Trivial Pursuit, all huge names that come to mind when I think of tabletop gaming. A newer name to that group, Settlers of Catan, is awesome to watch people get cutthroat with each other. It's becoming a household regular, too. I actually don't know how long it's been around. Ooh, I should look that up. Don't forget the classic roleplay of Dungeons & Dragons or Tabletop King Magic the Gathering. Okay, so I feel like I've gone pretty deep there. It's about the level of understanding I have for some of this world, but I am way off the point. Donna Pryor, the creator of OrcaCon, blows my mind with tabletop gaming knowledge. She and her gang, who are just local gaming meetup friends for inclusive geekery, got so into it that they took steps to create a 3-day con celebrating the fun. It's called OrcaCon. It happens in Everett, and they're expecting a second year in a row sellout.
I know, games, beer, games. Games,
and more games. No wonder the Vernon Wells guys are involved. That sounds like right up their alley. I would want to know where you came from with this. Donna, you are a tabletop gamer, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Tell me if you can remember one of the first formative tabletop gaming experiences that you had.
Oh, gosh darn. Well, I kind of grew up playing the traditional, board games like Monopoly and Life and Scrabble and all that kind of stuff. But where it really kind of drug me in is when I was in, this was about 1981 when I was in high school, because I'm old, a bunch of my school friends found D&D.
Oh, of course.
And I was like, I want to play this game. And they said, no, you can't play this. This is not for girls. Girls don't play Dungeons and Dragons. This is like a guy thing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're all nerds about, music and science and whatever. And
what? I would have never guessed.
I know. Back in the old... Well, this was also Texas.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, in the Dallas area. So, it was a lot more of that big hair 80s, girls were girly girls, kind of thing. And... here's a fun fact. I was on the dance team in high school, the drill team.
Cool.
And I actually wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
Except for the $12 a game that they make to do that.
Well, it was going to be fun, but I'm too short.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I'm too short. I also want to be a Rockette, and I'm too short to be a Rockette. I'm only 5'2".
How tall do you have to be a Rockette, do you think?
5'6".
Oh. Okay, yeah. So not like 6'2 or no, anything, no, but like, no. Okay.
No, they have a height range. I believe it's 5'6 to 5'10.
Yeah, because you want everyone in a line to look about the same.
Yeah, the line looks good.
Never.
But that's all right, because I was going to go, in college, actually, my radio TV film was my major.
Oh, cool. So I tried to do the same thing, but instead it was only film, and I had no interest in that. I wanted to do the sound side of things, and so I ended up doing East Asian studies and then history, and it was like a huge failure of my academic life that the thing I was looking for was not available.
Yeah, I was a club DJ. I did college radio, KSYM down in San Antonio.
And, cool.
Yeah, it was super fun. And but it wasn't until I was in San Antonio a few years after high school that I ran into some folks. We were all river rats working down there, people who worked in the bars and restaurants. And I was a bartender going to college, fencing, doing...
just fencing. You're just going to throw that
fencing,
in there.
Fencing, all kinds of stuff. And one of these guys I met said, hey, do you want to play D&D with us? And I said, girls don't play D&D. He says, that's not true. There's two women in my group already. And I started playing and I fell in love with the Forgotten Realms first edition AD&D. And it just kind of went from there. And then years later, I started playing board games.
Hold on, what's your D&D character? Do you remember your first one?
Like my first one? Yeah, Aubrey Bloodmane. She was a gold elf ranger.
Okay.
So, yeah, she was really awesome, and she worshipped Suni, and we had a lot of... I loved this role-playing group because, with Forgotten Realms at the time, especially going to second edition, with the Time of Troubles, and the gods were walking on the earth and all that stuff, is that because of all of my role-play and all this thing that I did, is that Suni herself came and made me a favored. So once I got higher level, I was like a ranger cleric.
Oh, cool.
So it was like a really, really cool adventure. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, my first tattoo... is her name on my arm.
That's cool.
Because people say, what is that? Is that like your kid? And I was like, no. Is it your husband? No. A wife? No. They're like, well, what's that name? And I was like, my first D&D character. People are like, what?
I love your go-to person that's interrogating you is Texan. It sounds like, what's that mean?
What's that mean?
That's fantastic. So, I remember playing Monopoly and stuff like that as well, but my only D&D memory that I really have is being, my friends still tease me for rage quitting a D&D campaign because I was so mad when I was like 10 years old. So Jake, if you're listening, that's for you, buddy.
Yeah, man. That's for you.
What is it about D&D that specifically, that pulled you to it, that that when you got shut out of it, that you'd be like, I'm missing out?
Well, I really wanted to, it's such so much of an escapism that we love, and the creating characters. And I had been reading science fiction and fantasy for years, thanks to my mom. And so the way I saw it was that you could insert yourself and create adventures, is that you could create stories with a group of people. And it's kind of a bonding experience and a shared experience. So that's really what games does for me.
Mm-hmm. What's the... what side of the fence of the board do you land on? Are you on the adventuring side or the dungeon mastering side?
Mostly on the adventuring side. I do a little bit of GMing. I do a lot of demos of Dragon Age.
Which is?
So Dragon Age, the video game. Mm-hmm. I work for Green Ronin Publishing.
Okay.
And we publish the Dragon Age role-playing game.
Oh, cool.
So I do demos of that and... but I'm looking at putting a Star Wars campaign together. I'm looking at putting together a newbie D&D game.
Oh, I forgot all about Star Wars. Do you remember the old D6 Star Wars game where everything was D6?
Yep.
What was that? Was it just called Star Wars Roleplay Game? Or
I think so.
I've
got some. I've got some of the West End stuff, and I think I've got some of the stuff that WotC did. But I have fallen in love with. I haven't had a chance to. I've barely had a chance to play, but I keep buying all the stuff for the Fantasy Flight games. What is it? Force and Destiny.
Okay.
So, it's really, really good. The intro set you can pick up has pre-generated characters, has the dice, and you don't have to know anything about role-playing games to play it.
Oh, cool. And so, there's a real thirst for everything Star Wars.
Yeah.
That might be a neat way to... I always enjoyed it because you could visualize it however you wanted. You could make a Wookiee character who was, a tinge of green to him, or like yourself had... Yep. He dyed his hair or something like that to a fun color or something. And that was always neat to be able to project maybe something that you weren't being satisfied with in your IRL life, to be able to put that into the gaming community.
Yeah.
Did you have end up
becoming part of a circle of friends that did that? Or
I did with my first D&D group down there in San Antonio. And then a couple of years later, we all split up and we were in different cities and we could never get together. And then by then, most people had spouses and people were starting families. So we would get together like maybe once a month and play Magic.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, that was about 1990 early.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember...
Somewhere around there. Yeah, I think I started playing around when Ice Age came out.
Okay, I'm a few years younger than you are, but I remember it was real big in the early 90s in middle school lunchrooms. Like, if you could get into the art room where the teacher would let you play Magic, that was like that was pretty cool for the nerds.
Yeah, it was funny because when I was in high school, the game that we played, I remember it was my sophomore year in high school, and most of the people in my biology class were honor students. So it's like everybody finished their work really, really, really fast. And so we had a coach who was great, and he let us play spades.
Oh, cool. Like the card game?
Yeah. We just played spades. So I learned how to play spades in sophomore high school. And and it was really kind of competitive and fun, and I really liked it.
Oh, that's great.
So it was nice to do that when I had Magic, because then I could sit down and, you know, play cards, play a game with people, and then I could pick it up and play it with all kinds of people.
What's your reaction to Stranger Things when the kids are playing D&D? It's the 80s.
I haven't actually seen it.
Oh, spoiler alert, they play D&D.
I've heard.
Oh, that's it's fantastic to see some kids that are just middle school age kids playing D&D again with that wild excitement of a gang of friends getting together in the basement to do that. So that's like... So cool. Okay, so your whole life is kind of gaming then, it sounds like. It sounds like you, both your professional life and your personal life then revolve around that.
Yeah, my day job is for Catan Studios.
Okay, what's that?
So, you know, have you heard the game Catan?
Like Settlers of Catan?
Yes, that's who I work for.
What?
Yeah, so that's doing organized play. So if you want a tournament in your game store or convention, I'm your gal.
So you're driving around like the region then to help set that up? And...
No, I'm not driving anywhere. No, if a store or a convention wants is that they sign up for it and whatnot, and then we send them stuff so they run the event.
Oh.
And then they are sending, it's a qualifying tournament. So the stores, they all feed into the Nationals Championship, which is at Origins in June in Columbus. And then... And then from there, whoever wins that goes to Germany.
Oh,
the
wow.
The next world championship is Germany in 2018.
I've seen some of the most evil come out of my friends playing Settlers of Catan, where they start trading for resources and whatnot. And I watch my friends hold each other over the coals, and it's fantastic to see from like a little bit from standing away from it. Speaking of all the different places that you're sending setups to so that way they can host their own thing, how is the tabletop gaming culture nationwide? I know Seattle's really good because we have a lot of nerds here that can like support it, but how is it looking nationwide?
You know, there's a lot of pockets around that have like what we have, which gamer cafes, you know, within these growing gamer communities and things like that. It's
for example, like a Card Kingdom and Cafe Mox and stuff.
Yeah, just like those. There's one of my friends. She's got a store that she opened in Cloak and Blaster, I believe is the name, in Orlando.
Oh, cool.
So there's these places that are coming up that are serving local craft beer. That are offering tournaments and organized play, but yet also casual play and have game libraries. I mean, here locally, we've got, you know, there's Meeples up in West Seattle. Mm-hmm. There's Zulu's Cafe up in Bothell. You know, so there's all these places that are opening
Shane's
up.
And Phoenix, I think, does stuff on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
And there's a couple different Mox locations.
Yep, Around the Table in Linwood. That's my local game store.
Oh, cool.
I'm there all the time.
Well, I'm from Albuquerque originally, and there was a big, I can't remember the name of the shop, and what is it? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy now. Eastdale Shopping Center, I think. But it was comic books and gaming. Are those worlds crossing paths still?
Sort of a little bit. I could go on about conventions. So the
we'll
thing
get
about
there. Don't worry.
Is that a lot of conventions, not as much science fiction and fantasy, but comic conventions are starting to have more gaming presence because there is an intersection. You know, if you look at like Sentinels of the Multiverse, you know, is that that's, you know, superhero. And so when you start combining all of these different things that's, you know, superhero comics driven, and then you've got games that are based on IPs that are based on comics, is they start intersecting. So the worlds are intersecting. As a matter of fact, there was just a great new, brand new convention called Indigenous Comic Con.
Okay.
That was in New Mexico.
Oh, cool.
And so they had comics and games and artists and all that stuff. So there are a lot of comic festivals that that are including games. So there is a becoming more of a crossover in other places besides Seattle. Because we've got a crossover like nobody's business with all of our nerd communities.
Yeah, Seattle's real special. I was part of a group of Rubik's Cubers for a long time, and we were doing big 100-people events at these shops and stuff, too. So it's like from all these different facets of people that are all cross-pollinating, I guess, with one another.
We've got a small supernatural con happening. You know, we've got Crypticon. We've got, you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, when you look at imagining a convention that was a horror games convention, you could do something really small because there are so many games that are horror based.
Wow.
Yeah, it would be cool.
To you, what's one thing that a game needs to do for it to be a lot of fun? It doesn't have to be the most important, but just something that a game's got to do for it to be like, this is fun.
I think that, it depends because everybody's version of fun. But when you have a game that, especially if you're trying to promote it as something that anybody can pick up and play, is that if you have something that takes people out of the game and then they're still stuck at the table while everybody's still playing.
Mm.
That to me is something that I really dislike. And I don't teach that game to people now because, like, an example, it's like how you play a game. If you have a game that can work well with new people and with experienced people, like Ticket to Ride is a great game.
What kind of game is it?
You put trains on a board,
okay.
On a map.
Okay, so it's a train.
Yeah, it's a train game.
Okay.
And so what you're trying to do is build routes across the United States. And there's other versions that are in Europe and, you know, whatnot. But so you're trying to build this. And so you have these cards that you build up. These cards will help you lay down trains. Now, if we're playing with newbies, we just play. And we play the right. But if I'm playing with my friends, we know where everybody's going. And so we screw each other over like, no, you're not going to that route because there's a 10 XP basically for having longest route, contiguous route. So if you you kind of screw each other out of their routes, because if you have those cards, you lose those points.
That's so,
if they're still in your hand, yeah.
That's so fascinating. I would never, like, when I think of tabletop gaming, I'm a little biased because the only ones I ever played were your traditional kind of like big name ones at the front of Toys R Us or whatever.
Right.
And then D&D. Those are like just those two styles. And I haven't kept up with it. So to know that there's more than that.
Yeah, you can take, there's so many games that you could play at different levels. And I was talking about this the other day. I've actually been talking about this a lot, is the game Marrying Mr. Darcy.
Okay.
Which is a Pride and Prejudice card game.
Okay.
And it was designed by an English literature professor who is really, really awesome. I wish I could get her out here to work the con, but that costs money to fly people in.
Yeah, right.
And so when I'm playing it, and I'm playing it with people that have never played it before, we play it very different. But if I'm playing with my friends, we are so cutthroat over who's going to marry who. It's like, you're not going to marry that guy because I'm going to marry that guy. And so, yeah, it gets really, really fun.
I don't really know enough about it. So are there people that, like, studios that make a game, like you're dealing with the Catan games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there another game that comes out from the same maker that everyone gets real excited about because it's going to be a certain style? I guess I just don't know what the different, if the different board game or tabletop gaming houses are consistently making good content, or if each person gets like kind of like one, you have that one hit album.
You know, it kind of depends.
Yeah.
You know, that because you look at, let's say, Fantasy Flight Games, you know, their portfolio is huge, which is a lot of different games, but a lot of their games are also really competitive games.
Okay.
And then you've got, you know, Asmodee has, you know, games that are both super, super competitive. I mean, even Catan. You can play Catan really nicely, but people who are experienced at Catan do not play it nicely.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it's, you know, it kind of really depends. And then there's all the independent games, which I love. Like Kodama is one of the indie games from Daniel Solis that I really, really love. And Takedo is another one. It's not, I mean, it's competitive, but it's casual.
Takedo, like the train in Japan?
Yeah, it's a route on Japan, and you're all travelers stopping off for art, for, you know, whatnot. So you actually, it's a slow path. Like, getting to the end first doesn't mean you're the winner. So you do
how,
like,
Japanese.
I know. Like, it's like you could stop and like one of the things, because this is what I like to do in Tokaido, is that you collect cards that make paintings.
Cool.
And they're really gorgeous paintings. And then you've got somebody who can win by collecting items that they shop, like collecting all these different little tourist trinkets and stuff. And so you stop and then you can, go to the temple and you can donate coin to the temple. And so you could do all these things. It's a journey. Rather than win, 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 win.
Yeah, how zen of it, like, to be about the moment rather than about the destination.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Oh. So, okay, well, I had you come in because I found out that you're responsible for a thing that's happening this weekend. If you're listening to it in close to real time here, this weekend, January 13th through 15th,
yep.
is OrcaCon.
Yeah.
First of all, a lovely orca with a die. That's my favorite, like, for a logo. It's fantastic.
Yep.
Orca being very Pacific Northwest and whatnot. And I was going to ask you, why do we need another con? But you just rattled off half a dozen games that I've never heard of before.
Right.
That you're saying that when me and my friends get together and play, you play differently than when someone new comes.
Right.
So I do want you to answer the question, but I feel like I'm asking it from a different place now. Why another con around tabletop gaming?
Well, what's
specifically
funny
around it, yeah.
is that we actually don't have very much conventions organized around tabletop. Because there are so many conventions, you know, from NorwestCon, mm-hmm. SacraCon, you know, that are Geek Girl Con. They're not gaming focused.
Mm-hmm.
They're focused on a variety of different stuff. Like NorwestCon is half literary, science fiction literary. They give out, I could be wrong, but I think it's the Philip K. Dick Award for science fiction literature. And then the rest of it is fandom. Fandom and social and whatnot. But,
a lot
I
of
mean,
cosplay
they,
and stuff. And...
Yeah, I mean, they have a masquerade and all that. And there's a gaming area, but it's not a games convention. It's not focused. And then you've got, like, PaizoCon, but that's specifically for Paizo games.
What's Paizo?
Paizo, they make Pathfinder.
Okay.
It's a role-playing game.
Okay.
So they're local.
Cool.
And then you've also got Lock and Load, which is Privateer Press's convention. So these are conventions held by the game companies themselves.
Wow.
And Privateer Press is located in Bellevue. And so they're really... So there's all this stuff, even PAX... While it's there is board gaming going on at PAX, it's not a board game convention. It's primarily focused on geek culture and video games.
Sure.
So Emerald City Comic Con, whether it's a big or small event, the only really local ones are Dragonflight, which is in August in Bellevue.
Okay.
And it's all tabletop. That's all it is tabletop role playing games, miniatures, mostly board games. And then you've got Game On, which is in Issaquah, and that's focused strictly on historical miniatures. Enfilade is also the same thing. It's historical miniatures, very, very small. So there's not anything that's really focused with a heavy board game. And with the amount of game stores and events going on around here, it's great to be able to support the local board game and tabletop gaming companies and people who play them.
So, okay, wow, there's...
And our convention is not in Seattle.
Yeah.
So because it's up in Snohomish County, it makes it more accessible to people like in Vancouver, Victoria
sure.
Island, the Peninsula, Bellingham, you know, Everett, and all the areas around there, because it's harder for them to come all the way down to Seattle.
It's expensive to come to Seattle.
It's expensive to come to Seattle.
Parking alone is
yeah.
a nightmare for that, having to yeah. stay down here
and
if
we have free
to.
Parking.
So what, like, are you the founder?
I am,
How
yeah.
many years has this been going on? What's the story?
This is our second year.
Oh, so this is, okay,
yeah,
this is
yeah,
the sequel.
Yep, 2.0.
Okay.
And we actually came up with the idea for it at Dragonflight 2014.
Mm-hmm.
When we were sitting around, Steve Hobbs and I were sitting around, and so we've got this group of friends, and they all grew up in Lake Stevens.
Okay.
And so they had years and years when they were younger and young adults, went to a place, a convention called DreamCon. I want to say it's DreamCon. That was in Everett. And
okay.
I think it moved around a little bit. I could be wrong about this.
Sure.
I'm sure somebody will correct me. But so they all got together and played games. Even though it was a general science fiction fantasy con, but they got together and played games. And so every year, they don't all want to come down to Bellingham or to Bellevue. It's expensive. It's hard to get to Bellevue, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, because if you're in, you know, if you're in Lake Stevens, would you want to go to Everett, you know, which is 10 minutes away? Or would you go all the way down here to Bellevue? So after years of listening to them complain about not having a Snohomish County convention, I said, well, I'll make one.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, let's do this. And it was during a game of Seven Wonders that we were losing badly. So, because we get together, I was telling the story the other day, is that we get together and some of these games we only play, like Naval War. I've only played that a few times, but I kick everyone's ass when we play this game. I love it. But I only play it at Dragonflight with that group of people. Yeah, you know, because it's an old game. You know, it's like 30 years old or something.
Well, I guess, do you just become able to play these games? Do you just, can you see kind of how they play? Is there enough similar gameplay between them that you can pick them up, or someone speed reading the directions and figuring it out?
Well, it depends. Like, there are certain people in our group who are really good at learning the game by picking up and reading. Mm-hmm. I am not that person. I have to sit down and play it. But once I play it, then I can go and teach it to people. Mostly depends on how complex the game is.
Okay, so I'm trying to imagine what OrcaCon is like. How many people showed up last year?
Last year, we had over 700 people.
Wow. I was, for a first year, I was expecting you to say 100 or 150 people. So 700 people showed up.
So based on the Kickstarter, because we did a Kickstarter for the first one, and we did one for the second. So based on...
Oh, I love when you actually deliver something with a Kickstarter. It's,
I know, it's
so nice,
awesome.
When you can raise the money and then give something back.
It's like, here's a con. And so based on that, and then pre-registration sales, we thought we were going to have around 350 people.
Oh, man.
So a lot of that came from people who just showed up on Friday and bought three-day passes.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we did a Kickstarter for the second one. And it was easier to track because we also, I used for pre-reg, I used Eventbrite. So we were able to track it better. So currently in our system, we have, let's see, I still have some more people I have to add, which are like media and things like that. So that brings us up to about 650.
And then if you expect some big walk-up, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on last year's numbers.
So it's possible that we could sell out.
Okay. What are you hoping for a sellout? 1,000?
Well, a total sellout based on fire code would be 1,200 people.
Okay.
So
that's great.
So yeah, if we can get
why
to
not?
I know. Let's do this.
Okay. And let me just make sure I get this correct. It's at the Holiday Inn downtown Everett, which is awesome. Was there last year as well?
Yep.
So you've built a little partnership with them then, which is nice.
They're lovely. They've been really nice. We've worked on, the great thing is we've been being our second year, is that some of the feedback that we got from the attendees, we were able to work on for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Plus we expanded out into areas like they have a parking garage, which is going to be sealed off. And so we have a lot of gaming that's down there. We've taken over some of the suites, so we have a quiet room this year.
Oh, cool.
So if
what's the advantage?
Of what? Having more space?
A
quiet room. It's really great because, so if you're like me, I have ADHD and anxiety. And so if I feel like I'm overwhelmed, I can go to the quiet room and just sit in a quiet space.
Oh, okay. And just collect your thoughts
collect
and have
my
a little
thoughts,
personal time.
Hang out.
So there's no gaming down there?
No gaming. It's in one of the rooms that's on the second floor. So it's out of the main gaming space. Let's say if you're breastfeeding and you want a quiet place, is that you can go there.
That makes sense now. Yeah. I get it. If you just need it, because it can be hectic and lots of noises and dice rolling and whatnot.
Lots of noise.
And people getting excited over things instead of be able to step away. That makes plenty of sense.
Yeah.
So it's at, okay, again, it's at, I don't want to say around the Holiday Inn, downtown Everett. And you're expecting at least 650 people to be there in year two of this thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Where do you want to go with it? Do you have any expectations that you're trying to set?
We do. We know that we've already signed on to do OrcaCon 2018 in the same location.
Cool.
And then we're also going to have to talk about it. So right now, the cool thing for the hotel is that they were actually recently purchased. And there's a new group coming in from Bellingham that's they're going to be changing it into a Marriott.
Okay.
So they're completely we're the last event in the hotel. As a matter of fact, they're kicking us all out on Monday. They're like, y'all got to be out by noon. And because they're going to shut down and then totally refurbish and then reopen. So we're going to work with them. So some of our rooms are actually in the Best Western. And then we set a satellite game room for some story games and open play that's open 24/7 while the con is open.
Oh, wow.
So as a matter of fact, the hotel, because we had to move some people and to do the rooms over there, they've set up us an ADA compliant shuttle.
Oh, wow.
So we'll take you back and forth between the two hotels.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So we're hoping for something like that for next year to continue to work with the Best Western and whatever else we can do locally to make sure that we can bring enough people there. We've talked to the Lynnwood Convention Center. We've talked to the Xfinity Convention Center.
Mm-hmm. I love that place.
Yeah. We want to keep it intimate. So we don't want to grow it too fast because everybody knows the stories about the conventions that overpromised and don't deliver. Mm-hmm. So I would rather underpromise and overdeliver. Like that's
like
just
a motto
like good
of my
business,
life.
Right?
Yeah, this is also don't set my expectations. I'm a good C B student. What's not
yeah,
more about
relationships,
right now?
Business. It's just all the same wherever you go. So our year 2018 is dedicated to Indigenous voices in tabletop games.
Okay.
So
wow. If
you're a local,
how socially aware are you guys? That's amazing.
Well, it's kind of our thing.
That's great.
So we're also a couple of things. So we're looking for more people. So if you are a First Nations or Native American artist, designer, writer, we'd like to talk to you. And so you can email me at info@orcacon.org or recommend some folks. I have some guests of honor, which I'm not going to reveal yet.
Oh, cool.
And then 2019 is dedicated to, we're called it, our nickname is the Queer Con. So it's LGBTQIA+, the whole quilt bag. So it's going to be focused on queer voices in tabletop games. And then after that, we're looking at the Latinx. So Latino voices in tabletop games. And so we have a whole big old plan. Eventually, we'd like to expand out to comics.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely for sure.
Stand-up comics, right?
Yeah, we'll have some stand-up comics. Yeah, we'll call Barry the stand-up comic. He's going to kill me when he hears that. But yeah, we're looking at comics. We'd like to, put out and have a LAN room. We'd like to maybe do some tournaments with some local video game companies.
Cool.
Like Motiga and, things like that. It'd be great if we had a League of Legends tournament. And then there's a lot of VR. So it'd be really neat to have some VR demos, some VR games, especially because there's so much of it going on here locally.
Good old VRcade.
Yeah, it'd be really, really nice. And so there's lots of things that we could expand out to do.
Okay, so tell me, when people show up on Friday,
yep,
what's the first thing you find when you get there? I'm here Friday afternoon to show up to OrcaCon. What am I going to run into? I can't even imagine what
this
looks
like. My smiling
face.
Hi. Hey, how you doing? So you walk in the door, you're going to see some amazing tables from Geek Chic. They're going to be set up in the lobby. So when you show up, go talk to them immediately and sign up for some spots. They're going to be available for open play.
Okay.
So there's that. Vernon Wells is going to have a nice little setup over where the fireplace is. The Tommy's Bar will be open serving the official OrcaCon beer.
Oh.
The Blackfish Stout made by Sailor Sea Brewing.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes, we have our own beer.
What was the name of the...
Sailor Sea Brewing.
Oh, yeah, Sailish. Yeah, okay, cool.
Downtown Edmonds.
Oh, that's so cool that you're going to have a beer for it. That's specifically one that's so perfectly timed with winter as well. I like
yep.
that.
Yeah.
What was it called again? Blackfish Stout?
Blackfish Stout.
Oh, that's great. I'll make sure to make a note of that. That's really cool. How about in terms of gaming? Like, how does it organize? Do you just have big rooms that have a bunch of tables in it and everyone pulls up a spot?
We have all kinds of stuff. Okay. So right now, everybody that's pre-registered, we have a thing called Sketch. So if you go to... if you look for OrcaCon on Sketch or go to OrcaCon 2017.
Spell Sketch for me.
S-C-H-E-D.
Oh, like schedule. Okay,
yeah,
Sketch.
Like schedule.
Okay.
So you can get a link to that on our website. I've got some links that go right over there so you can see the schedule. So if you've pre-registered, you can sign up for games.
Cool.
So you can sign up for panels. You can sign up for workshops. So we've got the GM's Academy by Joe Carricker. There's all kinds of stuff. And you can get on wait lists.
Okay.
So that way, if there's something you really want to play, but somebody bows out or doesn't show, is that you'll automatically get bumped in.
Cool.
So the system does it for us, so we don't have to worry about tracking that. But if you're on site, you can go to, when you register, you'll get email access. You'll get an invitation to Sketch, so you can go sign up, and then you can sign up for games at the con itself.
Oh, my God.
Plus, we have...
You're so well organized.
I know. That's what we like to do. Luckily, a lot of our volunteers are our PAX enforcers.
Okay.
So they're kind of used to being organized. That's an organized army over there, you know, working packs. And so we've got a demo tables. So there's like game companies that are going to be demos and play tests of their new games.
Oh, cool.
And then we have, you know, we have all the stuff on the schedule, but we have an open play area. So we've got open play areas scattered throughout the convention and a game library sponsored by Card Kingdom. They're bringing in a big game library.
Oh, cool.
And then we also have a play and win, which is cool because you can go up and you see all these games you never heard of, is that you can play one, you know, come back and get a ticket, and then you can put tickets in these little cartons that we have so you can win those games.
Oh, wow, cool.
So it's a really great thing, especially, you know, working for game companies, we get people all the time want, you know, hey, send us some prize support to our convention. And unfortunately, I mean, that's expensive, especially for a small publisher, you know, who's not in a big group. And yeah. So it's hard and expensive to send out free stuff to everybody. So the Play and Win offers, by Double Exposure, they work with game companies. And so they send the games because that's a guaranteed way that the people are going to play, that somebody's going to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunately, because as much as we like to say that gamers are better than everybody, there are people who keep them, you know, for game groups and game conventions, and they just keep the games and they don't actually give them out to the thing.
Human nature.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's bad people
bad
everywhere.
Apples, yeah.
So, you know, that's really nice, is that you're going to be able to do that and maybe come away with the game. Our friends at Gen Con, which is the largest tabletop game convention in the country, it's their 50th year, and they've donated some passes for us to give away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What is it again?
Gen Con. You must go.
Wow, where is it?
Indianapolis.
Oh, really? My brother lives there. That's actually
Well, see, there you go. You should totally go.
That's actually, again, I have so little familiarity with all of these games, and it's the Seattle subreddit does a board game night at the Elysian on Capitol Hill every Monday night, and I imagine them playing Monopoly and whatnot, but it sounds like it is way deeper than that.
Yeah,
based
they
on
used
what you're
to meet
about.
At Cafe Mox, but they outgrew it. Easily. Just like our group. I have a group called Inclusive Geekery. And we moved to a place called Red Door over in Fremont because we outgrew the space.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll send you the links to a bunch of stuff, too.
Yeah, please do. Just feed me all this stuff, and I'll put it onto a blog post so that way everyone can go and see all these things that we're talking about.
Yeah. If you go to meetup.com, you can go to meetup.com and search on games, and there are at least 1 to 3 game nights every night of the week in Seattle.
It's crazy. Even on Dude 206, where I'm just kind of surfing around for things that are going on, I see a ton of them there from all these different places.
Yeah.
What does it sound like when you walk into OrcaCon? Like, what is the... When I think of D&D, I think of people, like, concentrating and then, like, emoting and then going on and maybe there's some dice rolling. What is the overall sound of that many people playing?
It's pretty much like that. You know, people playing games and talking and help each other. Lots of laughter, which made me really, really happy, is, you know, walking around the convention last year and watching people get excited and laughing and having a good time. We have game hosts who do nothing but go around and teach people how to play games.
Cool.
So if you go to the game library, you don't know how to play, you can ask a game host to play with you. And even if they've never played, they're like, well, let us learn it together.
Cool.
So we saw a lot of that going on. A lot of our game hosts, you know, floating from table to table, helping people. You know, it's just really, really cool to see.
And you're a .org. Is this you obviously have social-minded things in place. Is it something where you're hoping to raise money for the community, or is there a way that you give back?
That's what we're working on for our full nonprofit status.
Yeah.
And right now we have a Blackfish scholarship set up. So if you if you're a marginalized person, if you have a financial need, is that we have part of our Kickstarter was people donating money just for the scholarship to bring more local people into to the con who wouldn't normally be able to afford to come.
Wow. This is fantastic. So much information that we just went over here. We'll post a bunch of links at 1077theend.com. It's OrcaCon. It's this weekend, January 13th through 15th. I wish I would have gotten to you sooner so we could have gotten it. So that way people not just listening this week will be able to hear it. But still, it's something to keep in mind for certain for 2018 as well, if you're listening to this after the fact.
Yeah, we'll be selling tickets at a big discount on the last day of OrcaCon for 2018.
Okay. What's a ticket run to get into OrcaCon? That's, I guess, important.
At the door, it's 65 for anybody over the age of 17 for 3 days. And then for kids, it's 45.
Okay.
And then we also have some day passes available. But those are only really, it's going to be as supplies last based on how many people we get showing up.
Okay. So if you hear this and you have a hankering and you're down the street from the Holiday Inn downtown Everett and you want to pop in, make sure you go check it out. I'm out of town this weekend. I would love to go see it and hear it. Specifically, this is a dumb story about me, but I went to the Rubik's Cube World Championships in Las Vegas several years ago. And you walk around a corner and there's a big ballroom that's open and it's the most eerie, creepy sound ever because it's...
Oh, yeah. All that sound.
It's 500-700 people going click, clack, click, 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 click. Like the whole time it's super speed and no one's really talking. It's just, and then you hear one person go, yeah, like erupt, like, yeah, and everyone goes crazy. And then it's back to like this really like creepy, cryptic twisting. And it's so weird.
That would be awesome and cool and weird at the same time.
It's wonderful. And so I'm always curious about when you get that many people together, you go to a Sounders match and people are yelling things, and you go to a Rubik's Cube contest and it's a different sound. What is it like at a tabletop gaming?
And it's even better because one of the things that I'm planning on doing some panels, you know, because I do panels at other conventions. And so I want to do the intersection of sports and games.
Oh, cool.
It's because there's a whole like jocks versus nerd thing that's been around for years and years and years. But especially here in Seattle, there's a ton of nerds that are big football fans.
Yeah.
And they're big Sounders fans. And so we'll have the game on in the lounge. So, like last year, we had the game on Sunday, and we were hooting and hollering and yelling, playing board games, and playing board games, Magic, and watching the game and hooting and hollering. Okay, so you could tell I'm still in Texas.
That'll be great. So Saturday afternoon, if you're worried about, but the Seahawks are on, you'll have a chance to be able to pop out.
Yeah.
You guys have thought of it all.
I know. We're awesome that way.
And free parking.
Free parking.
While supplies last. That's awesome. Well, Donna, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us if people want to reach out and find out more information, where
they
can go.
Sure. Yeah, the website is orcacon.org.
Orcacon.org. Got it?
Yep. And then we're on Facebook. So it's Facebook.com/OrcaCon. We're on Twitter at Twitter.com/OrcaCon. Mm-hmm. We have a little subreddit that doesn't get enough love. Because it's just kind of us, and we haven't really updated it much.
Sure.
We'd like to grow it, because, you know, Reddit, there's so much stuff to be found there. And
so if anyone is a loving Reddit moderator that wants donate some time, there might be a need for you.
Any questions at all can come to me at info@orcacon.org.
info@orcacon.org.
Absolutely.
I hope you guys have the best time.
Thank you.
And I hope at least once someone gets mad and flips a board over and runs away.
That would be kind of fun. And I hope I'm there so I can see it.
I should ask you if there was three games that you wouldn't miss at OrcaCon if you even get a chance to play. I don't know. You might be too busy.
Gosh.
If you were going to even someone just listening, that like you got to try this game with your friends on Saturday night over a couple beers. Give us a couple games that you love.
I would say go look for Mystic Veil. It's my new favorite right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, gosh, darn. Ticket to Ride. That's always a good one. You know, I really love that game. It's good for all levels of play. And
Settlers of Catan.
If you're in the bar, you can... Cherry Pick Games has a game called Drink.
Oh, my God. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. We went to the same university. That's crazy. Drink is... I got to get him in to do something similar like this.
Oh, it is super fun. It is a super fun game.
Oh, that's great. Cherry Pick Games is rad. I'm so glad you brought them up.
Yay!
Okay, so again, say them again. It was Drink...
Drink, Mystic Veil, and Ticket to Ride.
Okay, and Settlers of Catan.
Of course, Kev. I shouldn't even have to say Catan, but I'm going to say play some Catan. I'll play Catan with you.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at HeyGregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.